Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. Today is Monday, May 12th, 2025. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 96, the third paragraph. Today's readers are Jan S. on the 12 steps. Luann C. will read the 12 traditions. Our reader of the text is Anne S.C.H. and Eileen M. will read the closing. Larry G. is our fabulous newcomer greeter, and Becca R. will share announcements with us. I have the reference numbers, the share ID numbers, for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting and this morning's 7 a.m. meeting. Yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, that would be May 11th, 22,422, and this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,423, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own voluntary contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I will ask Jan S. to read those 12 steps of OA for us.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jan S. as in Sam from California, and here are the 12 steps of our Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Jan S. from California. I will now ask Luann C. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Jody. I'm Luann C., recovered in Boise, Idaho. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants we do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Luann C. from Idaho. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 96, paragraph 3. I will now ask Anne S.C.H. to begin reading for us. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Jody. Good morning, everyone. My name is Anne S.C.H. I'm calling in from BC, Canada. And I'm so grateful. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered, and a 100-pound survivor from relapse. I'm reading at the page of 96, third paragraph. He may be broken homeless. If he is, you might try to help him about getting a job or give him a little financial assistance. But you should not deprive family or creditors of money they should have. Perhaps you will want to take the man into your home for a few days. But be sure you use discretion. Be certain he will be welcomed by your family and that he is not trying to impose upon you for money, connections, or shelter. Permit that, and you only harm him. You will be making it possible for him to be insincere. You may be aiding in his destruction rather than his recovery. So this particular paragraph, there's parts of it that you think, well, this is the 30s and financial assistance. I mean, we're not dealing with people face-to-face the same way in this program unless you're in a small meeting group, which in these times since post-COVID that not necessarily we're doing like a lot everything electronically at least in these times. But, you know, as I was reading this just now, I realized, you know, there is electronic transfer of funds. So there is an actual message here in terms of working with the sponsee. Because sponsees, we go into relationships with them. And I find myself that perhaps the last two sentences of this paragraph are the ones that I take into my heart. That I might be making it possible for that sponsee to be insincere. So it's not mentioned in here, but I have a modern terminology in my head called boundaries. And so when I go into a relationship with a sponsee, as I walk through the steps with them and certain things come up, I'm very aware to say, well, I'm not a counselor, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a financial advisor, I'm not a dietitian, but I'm here to support you as you walk through the steps. And that has, and if a question comes up about something that someone, you know, a sponsee is seeking advice on, my habit now is to, let's see what the big book says. And bigger still, what is God telling you to do? And that is bringing God into the conversation and encouraging that spiritual awakening. And that if it has occurred already, that spiritual awakening has occurred, that's the point to do a reminding that I see that my role is to basically keep on that path of working through the steps, but not as a military pace of rushing through, but at the sponsee's pace, but at the same time not letting the sponsee call the shot. So that, again, is another boundary. And again, the last sentence in this paragraph, you may be aiding in his destruction rather than in his recovery. So this is where the nuance of my reliance upon God comes in. And if there's a check in my spirit about what a sponsee needs, I need to take that to God and be cautious about my own recovery, but more importantly, that sponsee's recovery. So I really thank everyone for being here and appreciate this time to share.
Thank you so much, Anne SCH from BC, Canada. I would now like to take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph. And I'll remind you that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Christy
K. Oops, I didn't hear anybody there.
Sandy K.
Sandy K. So I've got Wendy B. and Sandy K.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Malka S.
Malka S.
Alisa A.
Alisa A. Okay, wonderful. Let's go with those. I have Wendy B. followed by Sandy K. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And where it says, you might try to help him. And to me, this is permission to listen to his problems and giving him a safe place to share his struggles without judgment or condemnation. And I don't discount his problems, but I hear him and focus on directing him to God, you know, who has all the answers. And, you know, I'm not the answer. I don't have the solution, but God does. And it says, you should not deprive your family of or creditors of the money they should have. And, you know, as a sponsor, you know, I should have already embraced the concept of being financially accountable and paying what is owed. And, you know, and I need to be honest, you know, when money is already owed elsewhere and not try to give it to someone in need in the moment, you know, I have to be realistic. And then I like the caution to use discretion and make sure your family agrees with your acts of service to fellows. You know, when my family starts feeling neglected and making comments about how much time I'm putting into service, you know, I need to really evaluate my priorities and make sure I'm balanced and not going overboard on service, you know, trying to get validation from it. And I love the admonition to not enable, you know, when they're looking for me to meet needs that they're really responsible to meet themselves, you know, when I'm perpetuating their harmful behavior of not taking responsibility for their own lives, you know, when they aren't being self-supporting, you know, I need to make sure my helping is really for their greater good, like the saying, you know, to teach them how to fish instead of just giving them food so they rely on, so their reliance, you know, shifts from me to God. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Sandy K., where are you calling from?
Thank you. I am Sandy K., recovered in rainy South Florida. I actually had experience, for me, good and bad, with this paragraph, on both sides of the coin, actually. So there was a woman, this is a long time ago in program, who I knew, who, I don't remember the details, but basically she was married, she then all of a sudden she wasn't and she had no place to live. So I took her, I didn't live with anyone at the time, so I was alone. I didn't have to worry about my family. But I took her in for 2 weeks and that was it. I told her, you know, she can stay here for 2 weeks, and after 2 weeks she was gone, and, you know, in program, but gone. So, you know, so I certainly wasn't aiding in her destruction and enabling her. I hopefully was enabling in her recovery, or giving her, helping her with her recovery. Then there was a gentleman who was at one of my meetings who needed money to get his car fixed or else he couldn't go to work. So I gave him some money, and not all of it, but some, a relatively small amount. And then like a year later, he asked me for more. And I didn't give it to him. I mean, that would have been enabling. So I said, no, I'm sorry. No. And at the time, I probably needed the money, but even if I didn't, that would have been enabling. I also was years and years ago in a situation where I needed money. And I asked a friend if she can loan me money. And she did, another friend in program. And I told her when I was going to repay it, and I did. And if it weren't for her, it's possible that the lights in my house would have been turned off. And my son and I would be living in the dark. So she really helped me. And today, many years later, we're still friends. And I no longer ask people for money. Anyway, that's my story of this paragraph. I don't want to be enabled, and I don't want to enable anyone else. But my job is to help people in recovery when I can. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sandy K. from Florida. Deborah G., you're up, followed by Malka S.
Hi, I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you again, Jody, for your service and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome to any newcomers on the line. I'm so glad that you're here, and thank you for all the shares so far. And looking, being reminded of this again, I've never been in a position where that was happening. So I think I would have to pray about it myself before I made any decisions, you know. And then again, I like what was shared about having them pray about it and maybe even doing the two-way prayer to find out. Because, you know, I am on a plane of where, you know, God is either everything or is nothing, and the source is my source. And so I need to rely on my source for anything. And really being in touch with that source, connected, staying connected with God so that I can hear, you know, what the words are that I need to hear. And I feel that's my responsibility to do that, and so that I can be of service. I like to set my intention for the day. You know, please God help me. Please God use me. And letting God have his way with me. And then going about my day and see what happens. And then I know that I will get the guidance that I need with someone, whatever situation it is for that day. So, trusting.
Okay. Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Malka S., it's your turn, followed by Alisa A.
Hi, everyone. This is Malka S., living in Mexico, compulsive overeater. So I thought I would come on and share, because I guess sharing helps me process, it helps me process my thoughts and my feelings, and it's helpful to share it with people who understand. So thank you. First wanted to share in this line, you should not deprive your family or creditors of money they should have. And I remember when I was first going through the steps, I came into an issue that I've actually had it for a very, very long time, just this issue of having a very hard time balancing whatever it is that I'm into and other relationships in my life, because I get very hyper focused on things and I want to like do it the best, and I want to get like an A plus, and like I just want to do it the best. And I learned very, very quickly that in program, I don't know, maybe it works in other areas in my life, but in this program that just doesn't work, because this is my whole entire life. I want to live my whole entire life in this way, and I can't be hyper focused. So I guess like when you take the, and it's also like a control tactic that I realized I was having. So when I realized that, you know, when I can be of service, let's say in my home, that is very much program for me. When I can be, you know, attentive to my children and just, you know, not have to like not lock myself away in my room so that I can go to a meeting when I've already been to a meeting that day. Or just an example. So that I learned is a very amazing lesson. And I try to take that with me every day. And the other thing I wanted to share was on this last line, you may be aiding in his destruction rather than his recovery. So another person shared this, the word that came up for them was boundaries. And it's so interesting because I really, really want to help people. I want to help people to the point where I'll work harder than them so that they can get to a certain place. And that's also just another way of control. It's just another like part of my codependency, let's say, of just wanting to help people like intensely. Which backfires because it's not actually helping, it's enabling. So just something really amazing to keep in mind. And just one thing, this comes up in areas like with my children, let's say, it's not directly related to the food, but it's related to a lot of the resentments that I end up having So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you for sharing, Malka S. from Mexico. Alisa, how do you spell your first name?
Okay, it's A-L-I-B-I-A. And it's A.
Say that. I'm sorry, say that again.
Okay, it's like Alicia, A-L-I-C-I-A.
Okay.
And gotcha. It's A, and I'm from Connecticut.
Okay, got it. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you so much for your service. Alicia A, compulsive reader in Connecticut. And, when I was reading this today, the word that just came to the forefront of my mind was, you know, sacrifice, because we're not only sacrificing, you know, money and in our homes, and but also, you know, with our time, and you know, and right now I'm in the step four right now. So step one reading just came right to the forefront of my mind. Like, who wants to sacrifice time and energy? And trying to carry AA's message to the next sufferer, and this is the from the AA 12 and 12. And, you know, I'm looking at this more from a sponsee perspective, I guess, this morning, because I realize that for my sponsor, you know, it is a little probably inconvenient for her to meet with me with, you know, as far as her job, and she's got a lot of stuff going on. But as a sponsee, this also makes me think about the fact that, you know, I also cannot become like a codependent in all this, and have, you know, be enabled and all this. So realizing that there was so many other sponsors and recovered people out there who can kind of share the load, because it takes a lot of people to help me get recovered. I need a lot of help and assistance. I'm so grateful for this community and so many people on this line, even this morning, brought up things. You know, the speaker talked about boundaries and so many other people said so many things that I really could relate to, and I thank you all, and I'm grateful to be here this morning, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Alicia A. from Connecticut. We're on page 96, the third paragraph, and I'm taking names for people who would like to share. Would like to share.
Linda G. in Alabama.
Freya H.
Linda G. and Freya H.
Larry.
I heard Larry. And who else?
Yes.
Nancy L.J.
Nancy L.J. Nancy C. Nancy C.
Susan G.
Okay. Susan G. All right. Let's go with that group. I have Linda G., Freya H., Larry G., Nancy L.J., Nancy C., and Susan G. Please go ahead, Linda, followed by Freya. And let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Linda G. I'm a compulsive overeater and anorexic and a bulimic, and I'm calling from Alabama. To me, this paragraph is really about using discernment and really understanding who you're helping and why. I've had sponsees that have needed a little boost, and I've thought about it, and I felt that it was entirely appropriate. I had one sponsee who was sick and needed some honey, and I felt no problem whatsoever in sending her the honey. It was appreciated, and it was something she couldn't afford herself. And we went on from there. But there's also a time when people will try to take advantage of your good nature, and you have to be able to use discernment to determine what kind of person you're dealing with and what the circumstances truly are. And that is a personal development that needs to take place as you're recovering. And this is part of growing and part of growth. And it's possible that mistakes will be made, but you do your best and you move, you learn from it, and you move forward from there. I think that we all need to grow and develop. We've stopped growing when we started eating. And we put down the food, and then suddenly there's a need for all this growth. And we have old poisoned messages coming at us. And we have to learn to find those messages, root them out, and change them. And that's very difficult to do. But time takes time. And you work at it slowly. And you give it your best shot. And you pray for the best results. Working with your higher power is the solution. And to me, it is anyway. For me, working with my higher power has been the solution to knowing who to help and when and if. And that's all I have to say on this. Thank you very much for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you very much, Linda G. from Alabama. Rhea H., it's your turn. Rhea, press star 1 to unmute.
I'm so sorry. Am I unmuted now?
Yes.
Okay, I was swearing away. Thank you. Rhea H., grateful recovered compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor in Colorado. Thank you, everybody, for your insights and shares on this. There is so much in this paragraph, and it addresses so much. And what's coming to my mind, actually, as I'm hearing the shares on this paragraph, is the seventh tradition, which states that we should be fully self-supporting. That tradition is designed as a guideline for groups, but there's always a personal application for the traditions. And so this idea of being self-supporting, can I not only be, you know, understand that I need to be self-supporting, which is I need to take the actions to support my own recovery. It's like there's this spiritual toolkit laid at my feet, but I'm the one who needs to actually do the work. I need to pick up the tools and follow the guidance that I'm offered. And am I allowing the people I work with to be self-supporting? And this, honestly, it makes me think about, as a parent, it can be really tempting to just want to do things for my children instead of letting them figure out how to do it for themselves. And that is really probably the most damaging thing I can do. So do I understand that the same thing applies to me, someone who I'm going through the steps with? You know, if I feel like I need to caretake them or do things for them or help them out, what's my motive? Am I getting some kind of a hit off of, caretaking or fixing or, you know, managing or saving or rescuing? That's something that I need to continue to ask. And as I read these, I like it that we take this one paragraph at a time, because sometimes I feel like one paragraph says this and then the next paragraph says something that totally contradicts. And the that I have to keep on going to God for direction, because one thing might be appropriate in one situation and another thing might be appropriate in another situation. I have to keep looking at my motives and just keep asking God for direction in this. And I'll just wrap up by saying, I think it was in today's, one of the daily readers, maybe Voices of Recovery, it said something like, I learn more from my mistakes than my not, you know, when I don't make mistakes. And I have to accept that for myself as a sponsor. And I also have to accept that that's true for the people I work with as well. So may I embrace this messy, you know, this messy journey where we learn through trial and error and God's in all of it. So thank you so much. I'm going to pass.
And thank you so much, Freya H. from Colorado. Larry G., please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. This is Larry G. from Northern California. I just really enjoyed, we've had such a robust conversation about this working with others. It's been just a great listening to everybody share. You know, if I am in tune with God, then I'm not going to make mistakes. Because if I'm in tune with God, I'll know when to give and not to give. I have been given so much in the 43 plus years I've been in this program. I mean, it's just a million favors along the way, especially from beloved sponsors who have taken me on. It's been just a gift of epic proportions, and I want to give back today. I would help somebody if they were in financial need. What would be wrong with that if I had a sponsee that I knew was working as hard as he could and he blew his tire on his way to work? I'd help him out. Absolutely, I'd help him out. If somebody was getting on their feet and need a little financial aid, God is my treasurer. God is my source. I don't want to come from a place of scarcity. I've done that in the past. I don't want to caretake, but how do I learn when not to caretake? Well, you know, it happens when I get surrender, first of all, and I detox off of my alcoholic foods, and I go through the steps with a step sponsor out of the big book. Then these are all late-stage recovery that I get to work on, my people-pleasing, my codependency, setting good boundaries. And I just can't imagine what's going through the new person's mind on this call today. There's a lot here. And, you know, you don't have to invent anything in terms of working with others. If you just take this chapter and mark it up as a blueprint, it will outline every step along the way. And I've learned the hard way because I used to do it Larry's way. I didn't do it according to the 12th step. I did it according to as Larry sees it, not Bill sees it, with disastrous results. And since I've come to vision, a lot of things have changed for me, a lot of things. It really helps to have a good ass with me because you're beaten to submission and your ego has been completely smashed. Not quite, not completely. It's getting there, lifetime process, but not the man I used to be, I could tell you that. And I have a lot more humility working with others today. And I take this chapter, and I find the answers to this chapter. And guess what? I have sponsors. If I'm uncertain
on
the level of help that I need to give, then I'll talk to my sponsor. And with that, I pass it back to Jody. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Nancy LJ, it's your turn, followed by Nancy C.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for moderating. Good morning, everyone. Nancy LJ in California. So grateful to be recovered. Just wanted to check in on this Monday morning and not going to say anything much that I haven't heard already. The shares have been great. And I concur with about this chapter. I just look forward to this every day. This paragraph for me just says God won't do for you what you can do for yourself. And for me, I'm just so grateful that I'm going to say this. I'm grateful I'm a compulsive overeater because I found this program. I found this way of life. And I appreciate the daily reprieve. I appreciate the work I put in And that's what I pass on them, try to pass on to my sponsees is, you know, we've got to do the footwork. We've got to do these things in this big book, these steps on the daily. And because I'm going to tell you, if it was just handed over to me, I'm kind of lazy at heart. And I just take it for granted, you know. And I remember my daughter's half-sister moved in with us for a while when she was going to a local college. And her mom had given her her car. And my daughter, her mom didn't give her her car. My daughter bought her own car. And my daughter's car, they're teenagers. My daughter's car was usually pretty clean. She would go on the weekends, you'd see she'd be washing it. And her half sister that was given her car, it was just crappy. Ever, you know, it never got washed. You know. Not to say we're all like that or, you know, but you know, we appreciate what we work for, you know, and what these gifts we're given. It's just such a miracle. And I'm just going to, for whatever reason, I just want to share this. Last year, I had a patient that bought me hearing aids. Now, it was so crazy because I could have bought my own hearing aids. I could have put it on a credit card, used my care credit. But she was talking about how her hearing aids changed her life. And I mentioned, you know, my hearing's just not that bad yet. I just don't want to spend the money. She bought me hearing aids and I allowed her, and it was very awkward and weird. And we had many phone conversations before, but the gift she gave me, you know, she wanted to do that service for me, and it changed my life. And how it changed my life, not only do I have great hearing now, but I look for places where I can help. People don't necessarily have to ask. Thank you so much. So that was huge. I'm so grateful to be learning every day. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Nancy LJ from California. Nancy C. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Nancy C. from Washington State. I really appreciate all the different ways, the viewpoints on this paragraph. It's been really great. And I more or less agree with everyone. And then I also have to look at through my work in the 12 steps, I really have to look at my own personal inventory and what I feel like I can be capable of or not capable of. And one of those is that, you know, I learned, and I think it's in the literature as well, that, you know, I'm not a banker. My job as a sponsor and as a friend in general is to support another person's connection with their higher power. And for me personally, when I get into these places of, I have to realize that I'm not able to be a person who lends money to people because it's sort of like I find that I can so easily get off the track by focusing on fixing them and their problems and everything, and I lose track of like, no, my job is to maintain my connection to a higher power, my connection to the program, and help others do that too. And I can really easily go off track and start trying to get into other people's lives and business and all that. So that's me personally. And I have an example of this recently. After working the 12 steps for many years, I suddenly, these memories of stealing as a child came up. All of a sudden they bubbled up. I hadn't thought about them. I mean, I'm in my 70s and these things happened like 70 years ago, 60 years ago. And I remembered all of this and I was like, oh my gosh. Well, I couldn't make direct amends. This was, you know, miles away and people are not there anymore. And it, what kind of brought it up was how I was feeling discomfort and the fact that I was overgiving and I was overcompensating. And it made me realize, you know what, I'm using other people to make right some unconscious fears, some unconscious things I didn't even notice that were bothering me. And wow, it was such a revelation that, you know, okay, reel it back in. I've got to work my program. That's helping other people find a higher power and me maintaining mine, my connection. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Nancy C. from Washington. Susan G., go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Susan G. in Tennessee, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, not cured. Well, I love this paragraph, and I've needed and received healing, a lot of healing from enabling others, and really the self-seeking defect that I have, that I often want to act with generosity to make me feel good, not from the pure motive of being useful or an instrument of higher powers, peace, and love. Some examples in the past, I bought a car for someone, trips for others. I paid for a surgery, a skin surgery for a fellow, and when my family could have definitely used the money. I was not being asked to do any of this, but, you know, I wanted to be the savior. Today, I'm willing to go to any lengths for my sobriety and my sanity. So here's how it works. It really does. So currently, my daughter just had a healthy baby April 30th, and she has been on a ventilator until Saturday, fighting for her life due to some complications. She's a former drug addict. She's one of us, weighing 450 pounds, lying in that hospital bed and asthmatic and really suffering. And when we went yesterday, when she came off the ventilator, she was able to talk, and she looked great, much better than she has the last couple of weeks. And hearing her talk, and I could hear the alcoholic mind. But in my mind, the first thought was, I got to put my life on hold. I need to pay for all these things. And then right behind that, because of this program and staying in touch and working and living, really more than working, just it's become a part of my life. The second thought was, don't deny her blessing of a step one experience. Don't deny her the consequences of her actions. Be loving and supporting, not saving. I'm here to do God's work today, not God's job. We babysat her 13-month-old and her little dog, and we're being useful. And I feel like today, because of this program, I'm aiding in her constructive growth, not her destruction, by trying to live her life through fixing, you know, manipulating and controlling. So I really try, and I don't deprive, like it says here in this paragraph. And the litmus test for me in making these kinds of decisions is peace, my inner peace. It's like unlocking a safe. I ask my higher power, what can I do to be useful, to help this man or this daughter who is still sick? And I get quiet and I hear the discretionary guidance. And if it's true, it seems to click and open my heart and my mind. And, of course, my husband and I work in tandem so that we do help others, but we don't cause harm by permitting our own generosity become a source and a motive of self-seeking. So that's what I have to share today. So grateful to be with you on this meeting. I'm not often able to come to this one. So grateful to be here, and God bless everybody. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Susan G. from Tennessee. That's all the time we have for sharing. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. from New Hampshire please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until